Welcome to episode 73 of the Breakdown Falls podcast. I'm so glad to be past one and two for some reason. Because those, you know, I kind of messed those up a couple hundred times. Anyway, episode 73 of the Breakdown Walls podcast. And today's an exciting day, folks. Today, we have a guest. Yes, we do.
Yep. That we do.
That we do. This episode, we've already recorded the interview, so we already know. We can already tell you. We can see the future, listeners, and tell you that the interview's pretty awesome.
I can see the future!
Yeah, it's a pretty awesome interview. I think you guys are going to like it. And perhaps you'll be intrigued by what we have learned and discovered here on the podcast. Aside from that, there are some monstrously big things to talk about today. Some of which are just amazing.
Indeed.
And so we were going to talk about those things, because that's what we do here at the Breakdown Walls podcast. If you don't know,
we talk about things.
We talk about things a lot. We do. Today's show is so big, in fact, that neither of us made a clever joke at the beginning of the show.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we are recording this before the Nintendo Direct, which is also today. By the time this gets published, it will probably be about time for it. It's about 5 Eastern. But my plan is to cover that next week. So there you go. Well, Star Lockatron, what do you say? We get right into it with some
gaming news.
Welcome to
Gaming News.
On this episode of Gaming News, some cool stuff, man. Some pretty cool stuff happening. And some not cool stuff. But we're going to cover the cool stuff first, because I like cool things.
A lot more cool than not, thankfully.
Well, yeah, depending on your perspective, I suppose. No, I think there's a lot of cool stuff. Actually, one of the things you might be thinking of, Sirlock, I put in accessibility news because, you know.
Yep. That's what I'm...
Okay, good. Glad we're on the same page. We usually are. I just, you know.
Yeah.
You got to double check. Okay, so the cool gaming news thing is this. There's a game you may have heard of. It's been pretty popular and also very unpopular. And I kind of worked on it. It's called The Last of Us 2. Might have heard of it. You know.
Yep.
As many of you know, it's getting an HBO series. Well, we now know who in that HBO series is going to be playing Joel and Ellie.
Yay.
Ellie's going to be played by Bella Ramsey, who is from the Game of Thrones franchise. Or at least that's what she's primarily known for.
Ah.
I don't know much about her.
I don't remember who she plays.
Yeah, I've never watched Game of Thrones, so I don't know. I know I'm a heathen, but I've never. There you go. But I don't know much about her. But you know, I'm sure that, you know, casting was very carefully chosen and whatnot. But the thing is, given who Joel is played by, I bet she's going to be good for it, because I believe Joel absolutely is, which means I trust the casting of this show.
Yeah,
is what I'm trying to say. So Ellie's played by Bella Ramsey. Joel is going to be played by the one and only Pedro Pascal.
Mandalorian himself.
The Mandalorian himself is Joel in The Last of Us. And you know what? I thought about it. I was like, yeah.
I can see it.
I could. I, like,
especially like the beginning, like hard ass, doesn't care about anything, Joel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, man. He's good for it.
Yeah.
I want to know if he's going to put on the Texas accent.
Yeah, he probably will.
But if he does, you know, I think he could probably pull it off. I think he's, yeah, I have a lot of faith in this. And speaking of the casting of The Last of Us TV show, there's so many rumors flying around about it too. Like, for instance, there's a rumor that Keanu Reeves has been offered the role of JJ. Which... Okay. I mean,
that's interesting.
if it was true, it would heavily imply The Last of Us TV show is going to go far beyond the game.
Yeah.
It's going to cover the games and then go further.
Huh.
So maybe? Yeah.
I don't know.
And we don't know. So if it is going to cover the games, because they're being very vague about this, so we don't know, for instance, we don't know if, you know, who Abby is going to be, if you know, that's going to be covered in this show. A lot of people, including Troy Baker himself, wants to know who's going to be playing Bill. Troy Baker's wondering about Bill because he like mentally he said, "I don't see anyone else but the actor that played Bill in the game as Bill." It's just he just so perfectly.
He was perfect for it. It was great.
The perfect Bill. Bill's one of my favorite characters in the first game. Absolutely
great.
What I say when you what I say to you when we came down the steps? Anyway, the whole thing about him not, you know, so, not allowing Ellie to touch herself. Joel needs a car. That's great. I love Bill, man. That's going to be a hard role to fill. It is. Because you might find someone with like the accent or something like he has, but
yeah,
it's going to be a hard role to fill because he's so unique in his approach to life. But yeah, I hope they find someone good for him. You know, Henry and Sam, man.
Yeah. Oof.
I don't know, dude. Like, and if we get into Last of Us 2 territory, good lord, the playing field expands. Oh, wait, what about Last of Us 1 still? Tess.
Who? Oh, man, Tess, yeah.
Who? Who?
Who?
Who?
Who?
I don't know, but it's just, it, like, now that this has started happening, like, now that we have two casting announcements, only now am I really starting to think about it, you know? Like,
yeah.
Before, it was like, okay, there's going to be a TV show, that's cool, and given the time frame that the TV show is going to, you know, be created in slash then released later on, it should be audio described, considering HBO is adding audio description next month.
Yeah, good.
Officially, so.
Finally.
So, yeah, so it should be audio described, so I'm into it. But until this announcement came out, I wasn't really thinking too hard about the casting.
I mean, it was just this. It was always just this far off thing, right? It was like, yeah, well, you know what's happening? We just didn't know when.
Yeah, but now it's like real.
Like, yeah.
Like, I don't know if they're actually shooting yet, but it's very real. Yeah, man.
I think they're in they're probably in like pre production.
Yeah, they're probably telling Pedro to like mentally prepare to be a very oh. By the way, I know I was about to make some kind of silly joke, but I'm not anymore, because another thing that came up in Troy Baker's discussion about the reveal of Pedro and Bella, Sarah.
Ah.
Who will play Sarah?
Dude, yeah.
For a brief period.
Ah. Man.
Although I guess they could, you know, since it's a show, you could stretch the opening of this game to an episode. You could. Like, oh, it could be absolutely a full episode. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I could
play on Joel and Sarah interacting more before everything.
Yeah, maybe show Joel before he gets home.
Like
a little bit more about his job, because he was on the phone when he, you know, was at home before. So
he's like a realtor or something, isn't he?
I think he's supposed to, or an architect or something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which.
Something like that.
But yeah, he's you know, it'd be cool.
Ah, man,
it's a real thing, man.
I'm excited for it now.
I am like, there's people that are so scared, and I do get it because there's a history, a long history of terrible video game adaptations in movies and stuff. But yeah. First of all, number one, I think a series is the correct way to approach this instead of trying to crunch this into 2 hours, because that would never work.
No.
And number two, let's remember, folks, that Neil Druckmann is on the staff of this show as well.
Yeah.
The writer of the games is also working on the show.
What I'm looking forward to, too, is potential, like, I don't know if I'd call it filler, but, like, you know, like, stuff that wasn't necessarily in the games that you could play with. Like,
yeah, like building out. Dude, they could show, if they wanted to, they could make our dreams come true about some of the side stories, but just do it in the show instead of the game.
Show the side stories. Yeah. Like, what's his name? The
Ish.
What was his name? Ish, yeah. Ish.
Yeah, the very popular like, Ish.
Yeah.
They could, when they get to two, they could show Boris's story too. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Because he was, you know, he was just a dude once
mm-hmm.
who won an archery trophy. And then he, you know.
Yep.
And then stuff happened.
Yep.
It was all bad.
Yeah,
I could see some of that. Yeah.
Or even like, I even feel like this would be cool for like a third game in the series. Like, not even just do continuation, like go backwards and show like Tess and Joel doing stuff.
Oh, that would be in the interim.
Because remember, there's that, what was it, 15 or 20 years? It's,
yeah, 20 year gap. There's a 20 year gap. Yeah.
So there's a lot of time there to.
Yeah, that would be something. But I will also say, though, just to. I want it to happen as much as anyone. But I must say that Troy feels like he's done with Joel.
Yeah, I
Troy feels like he's given Joel what he could, like all he could. And he's super happy about Pedro because he wants to see, because he likes Pedro and he wants to see what Pedro will give it, will give the character.
Yeah. And Ray and I just finished season two of Mandalorian. And, it was good.
I know.
Unfortunately, both of us had gotten spoiled ahead of time on the big.
I did not get spoiled. So I got that authentic experience.
Oh, dude. Oh, you're so lucky.
I was like, oh my God. Because
the way they did that was so good.
Oh, it was the build. The build was perfect.
Yeah. And we're not obviously going to spoil it.
Not going to spoil it. No spoilers.
But it's
you have like awesome. There's like a whole 10 minutes when the big reveal is there, but you still don't know who it is yet.
There's little moments where you're just like, is that who I think it might? Nah.
Nah, it couldn't be. Nah. I love it.
It is.
I love it.
It's so good.
Yep. It's amazing. So Last was a TV show. I don't think there is any like, we don't have any dates.
I don't think we have any dates at all.
No it's production just... dates, nothing. Okay. I just want to be sure because if we did, I wanted to know. But I don't think we do.
Probably, my guess probably either holiday this year or
next
sometime
year.
Next year.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be.
It's not going to be soon.
No. yeah, man, I'm ready for it though. Like, even, it sucks because now I'm just like anticipating this one show.
Yeah.
Why do I want to get HBO Max? One show.
Well, from what I hear, HBO Max has a lot of neat stuff on it.
Well, I've heard that too. But I think for me, what it's going to come down to is how I want to support them if they show that they're actually dedicated to adding audio description.
Yeah.
When they do it.
Yep.
So officially, according to the lawsuit, yes, that's how it originated.
Yeah.
HBO Max will be adding audio description in March. So let's see what they do. Will it just be on new things? Are they going to retroactively add some stuff?
I mean, it would be awesome to because that's what Disney Plus has been doing. Is they've been going back.
They're still doing that. I love it.
I love that they're adding it to the shorts, too. That makes me
really happy. I know.
So cool.
And they started to, did you notice the trailers on Audiodescribe now, too? Just like Apple TV Plus?
I did. What I found really interesting, because Ray and I went back and we watched the original trilogy starting on New Year's with the with A New Hope.
Okay.
I told you about that. We timed it for
Oh yeah, I remember.
And we decided after that we decided like, let's go ahead and watch Empire because we're already watching.
What and, the heck?
The original trilogy, when Disney Plus first launched, the original trilogy did not have audio description tracks. They do now.
So I think when it first launched, like two of the movies had audio description, like Revenge of the Sith,
Revenge of the Sith and like I don't think Force Awakens was up there just yet, but
Force Awakens was like shortly after launch, I think.
Yeah. I think one of the other prequel shows you had it. It might have been Attack of the
Clones. Yeah, it might have been. I think you're right. I think they're both prequel stuff. But yeah, so now everything has it.
But now everything has it. I wish Rebels would get it.
Like, I know.
Come on, Disney. You've been adding audio description to things left and right. Let's do this.
Yep.
They did it again, too. They just added audio description to a movie I've already watched. Like, a movie I gave in and watched without audio description because I wanted to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it has audio description. I'm like, dang it. Well, I guess I'll watch it again.
Yep.
It was The Greatest Showman. Yes, I'm a sucker for musicals. What can I tell you?
Hey, musicals are awesome.
Musicals are awesome. If you like musicals and you like Hugh Jackman,
nice.
Even without audio description, The Greatest Showman is good. But I do want to watch it again now that it has it.
Yeah.
The music is good. Hugh Jackman can sing. I don't know if you knew, but he can sing. He is not just Wolverine. I'll tell you that right now. He is much more than the Wolverine that you've seen in the movies.
Yep.
But this is a tangent, and we like those.
We haven't had a long tangent like this in a while. I mean,
I know, right?
We tend to do little tangents, but, well, no, I'd lie. Because last week we had that big tangent, too, about that. All the Alexa games.
Yep, that's right, we did. That's right. Yeah, that was that.
But we haven't had a non-gaming tangent in a while.
Speaking of that tangent, I've tried Night Manager now.
Okay, what'd you have?
I tried Night Manager, and it was... it was all right. It's pretty cool. It definitely is. I don't know. I don't really. Like, I don't know if there's much more to it than I've seen.
Yeah.
But it's cool. I do think you're right about the daily adventures being finite things that, there probably is an end to because as you mentioned, they are numbered.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did my first daily adventure, it did point out that it was number one.
Yeah.
So I think everyone gets the same sequence of daily adventures, just one of them a day.
Yeah.
So
I'm on like 11 now, I think. So
nice, nice, very, very nice. Yeah, I do enjoy it for what it is.
It's a fun little thing to
play. It's a fun cash mess around game. I did play more Cursed Painting last night too. Did a couple of the expansion things. That was fun.
I have one expansion left of Cursed Painting, and nice. It's good. I like Cursed Painting a lot.
Yeah, I do too. I really wish the combat was more fleshed out, but Cursed Painting is good. Like, in spite of that, it's really good.
Now I just need to go back and finish all of Starfinder.
Starfinder is so amazing. I mean, Laura Bailey's in it. How could you not?
I love that Laura Bailey's in that.
And Nathan Fillion is in it too.
Oh, really?
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion is also in Starfinder.
Very cool.
Yep.
I mean, it's Amazon. Like,
yeah, they have the monies.
I think that was an Amazon.
It's made by Paizo Games, though. It's made by the original creators of Starfinder itself.
Yep. Well, there you go.
The people that created the tabletop game made this.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
I want more.
More. Apparently, we're getting more. Supposedly, we're getting more because it does very specifically say season one. In the content, so
ooh, good.
So good. Let's hope. Anyway, not only is this a tangent, but I kind of now feel like we're stalling because part of me, like, how do I put this? The next thing is not a pleasant thing.
This one's gross.
It's not that I don't want to talk about it because I think we should address it.
This story is just gross.
Yeah, but it's unpleasant.
Yeah.
So. There's a game, and before I really, really get into it, the game that's being referenced here actually was supposed to come out years ago. I can't remember what year it was, but it was many, many. I think it was supposed to be. Oh man, it was a long time ago. I don't remember what year it was, but I want to say it was supposed to be a 360 game or a PS3 game or something like that.
Oh,
like
gee.
That long ago.
Two generations ago.
Yeah. Wow. I could be wrong about that, so don't quote me on it, but I want to say that that's how old it is. It's a game called 6 Days in Fallujah.
Yeah.
And at the time, if I have my facts right here, and there's a chance that I don't, because I didn't have a whole lot of time for research today, but I think at the time it was actually canceled because of the backlash that it got during creation, like during development, even from some of the people that helped to work on the game, because they hired a bunch of consultants and things. and let's be clear on this before I really get into it. American consultants?
Yeah, yep.
Only American consultants?
This is why sensitivity consultants are a thing.
Yeah. So 6 Days in Fallujah is basically a war story video game where it's basically about America invading Iraq, and it's very, 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 very skewed towards the American perspective. Yep. Not only that, it's skewed towards the war perspective, where the...
Think like Doomsday Warrior levels of just... I don't know if you ever read Doomsday Warrior, but... Like,
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah.
I read some of it.
Yeah.
But like everyone else is evil and America is amazing.
Yep.
Essentially.
Yep.
And that's... And it that perspective is like... It's apparently just... That's what the game is. Like that is the beginning and end of this game. Like there's no voice is given to the Arab people or anyone on the other side of anything.
yep.
And I saw this morning a Twitter thread from, and I'm probably going to pronounce the name wrong, but Rami Ismail, probably pronounced that wrong. If I did, and you're listening to this, I apologize. But I saw the Twitter thread and I had to share it out because what the Twitter thread turned into was it was not just a complaint about this game. It was a complaint about games media in general. Because now, to be full disclosure, this game is coming back. The reason I brought up the fact that it got basically canceled or taken offline is because now it's being revived. And it's also being hyped up.
Ugh.
You know, because America or something. Yeah. And it shouldn't exist. The game should not exist. Especially in these times where people are trying to get make their voices heard more than ever before. People realize now that they have voices and they're trying to shout with them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like no one is just going to be okay with this anymore. Like,
no,
it doesn't work that way anymore. People are loud and proud, and they know that if they shout loud enough, something's going to happen. Like
that would have flown 20 years ago, but
yeah, not anymore. Heck, there's a surprising large amount of games that I don't think would fly very well anymore if they weren't be released today.
Yeah,
I think you'd have trouble releasing Saints Row.
Yeah, you might. Yeah.
But anyway, so this thread was basically talking about not only the game, but games media as a whole, because games media is, of course, on the side of the game. Because, hey, this game that was a thing and then wasn't and now is a thing again. Yay!
Yeah.
This person was talking about how he's been invited on a lot of podcasts lately. Even though he's not from Iraq, he's from Egypt. And he says that the reason he believes that is because kind of people just grouping, you know, Arabs and Arab adjacent people into the same category. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And also a lot of the podcasts he's been invited on are people that essentially want to talk crap, basically bring him on there as kind of an insult. And this is games media, folks. Like,
yeah.
And he hasn't been invited to any of like the big names in games media. Any of them. Because they don't want to hear the other side. You know? They don't want to hear how bad this game is for Arabs, how triggering it might be.
Everybody wants their little echo chamber.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. They don't want to hear how triggering it might be for a good portion of the population.
Yep.
So yeah, it's a big mess, and I wanted to cover it because this Twitter thread just like floored me today.
Yeah, and I even got crap. 20 like when 9/11 first happened, I was actually happened to be dating someone from Afghanistan at the time.
Oh wow!
And obviously, like she was living here.
Yeah.
And like. like one or two people were like made kind of racist statements. It's like, how do you know she's not the enemy? Like, come on, dude.
That is insanity.
Come on.
That's what I've always hated the American assumption. And I hate to say it, but like this is an American societal thing. The American assumption that every Muslim is a terrible person.
Yeah, that's no.
Or every person from that area of the world is a terrible person because they're from there or because they are Muslim.
Yeah.
Insanity.
It's.
But this is what like society tried to convince us with TV and movies, and I hate even shows that I liked did this. I hate to say it because I love the show overall, but 24.
Oh God, yeah, 24 was horrendous for that.
Yeah, they did this exact thing.
Oh my God, yeah, they did. My SWAT character was even.
I know. I love the show for what it was, in the sense that I liked the concept, I liked the twists and stuff. But man,
to be fair, my SWAT character didn't have any
right.
Stuff. He
was just a little messed up in the head. That's all. Yep. He's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah, sure. Everything stinks.
Yep. You know what? Let me just say this. If you follow me on Twitter, and you're listening to this podcast, go to my Twitter timeline, look for that thread, and if you can, try to please read it. And if you can, share it as well. Because I want to help amplify this person's voice. If I can. It's if you go to my Twitter timeline, you can't miss it. I literally kind of say the same thing in my tweet. I just say, "Hey, I wanted to share this thread out, and if you can read it and share it." So if you find that, you'll find that thread.
Yep.
Man, it's so I wanted to talk about that. But anyway, yeah, I think that's it for that. I think that's all I have for.
Luckily, all the accessibility news is good stuff.
Yes, all that's good stuff. Thank goodness. Thank goodness for that. That's all I have for gaming news. Sherlock, do you have anything else for that, or should we move on?
I'm really hyped for the Nintendo Direct.
Oh yeah, I mean, so am I. Trust me, we're going to cover that. We're going to cover that next week. There are rumors. Rumors are flying about that Nintendo Direct, my friend.
Good Vibes Gaming pointed out they're basically the spinoff guys from old guys from Game Explain.
Oh, okay.
They pointed out that we have not had a full Nintendo Direct since like 2019.
Yeah, they kept doing the mini ones for like over a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane, man.
It's gonna be a 50-minute long freaking behemoth.
Yeah, and I've seen some rumors, dude. I've seen like Zelda 35th anniversary bundle rumors. And
a lot of people are saying 64 games on this on Switch.
Oh, online. Hopefully. I'm waiting for that one. I would love that.
I hope so. That would be awesome.
That'd be nice, man.
Pokemon Stadium. It won't happen, but Pokemon Stadium, please.
Why wouldn't it? Why couldn't it? Why shouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I hope.
allow your mind to wander.
Portable Pokemon Stadium? Yes, please.
There you go. Get some WWF Warzone action. Get some.
Oh, Warzone.
Get some Killer Instinct on the go. Bring Killer Instinct Classic on the Switch with you on the go, you know? That'd be fun.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'd be all for that.
That'd be so good. Anyway.
Good.
No, I was...
Oh. Okay, well, we'll talk about that next week after it happens.
Yes.
And then we'll tell you what happened.
Yep.
We'll tell you how right/wrong we both were about this. All right. So, now that we're done with that, let's move on to...
Accessibility News!
Welcome to
Accessibility News.
Man, what a day for accessibility. Well, what a couple of days, really, because it happened, I think, yesterday officially. But good Lord.
This is huge.
Let's talk about Microsoft and Xbox, ladies and gentlemen.
This almost makes me want a Series X.
Yeah, so full disclosure, because I like to be fair about these things. If you listen to the podcast, just in case, maybe you haven't, maybe you're new to this. I have given Xbox a lot of flack. I've given them flack publicly, and I've given them flack to their faces as well.
Yep.
If you missed that saga, then old episodes.
Oh, maybe your talk is what inspired what's happening now.
Maybe it's some of it. I'm sure it's not all of it, but maybe it's some of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible. I won't discount that possibility. But anyway, I've given them a lot of flack because I haven't felt like they're actually upholding the games are for everyone ideal that they claim to be upholding.
Yep.
Essentially, they're saying games for everyone, except they're not because the blind can't play most of their games.
Yep.
Even the ones with narration, it's like they fear, they believe narration is all they need to do and then they're done.
Yeah.
However, that may all change. Because Xbox has done a couple of things. Number one, they have updated their accessibility guidelines to version 2.0, making the language more clear, making it more understandable for game developers looking to make their games accessible and so on and so forth. So the guidelines are updated. But the really big announcement here, the really big thing, the guidelines would updated on their own would have been cool, but it gets better. Not only that, but Xbox is launching an official in-house accessibility testing program. So, game developers can send their game builds, their early builds preferably, to Xbox to have them evaluated for accessibility in-house based on the accessibility guidelines that Xbox has created. Holy cow.
Higher sightless combat,
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, they should.
This is the Xbox-centric guy anyway, so...
Yeah, I completely agree. Yep, he'd be the one to go to. Not only that, and this kind of feeds into higher sightless combat, like you said, Sirlock, but to verify the accessibility of the builds that Xbox has sent in line with this testing program, they're going to be utilizing disabled testers.
For
all the guidelines.
Good.
All types of disabilities verified by disabled testers.
Yep.
Yes. Just yes.
This is what needs to happen.
This is what they needed to do for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, this is what's been happening on smaller scales for a little bit now. Like, them hiring you for Last of Us 2 and other things. And
yeah, like individual developers have been doing it, but now this is just like Xbox. Company level, just like,
or I don't know what I'm trying to say, I think.
It's never been done on a platform level before.
Yeah. Platform
level. Yeah.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, there you go. yeah, this is just Xbox doing this. So any game is eligible for this. Any game that's made by a Xbox studio is eligible for this. It's probably, I don't know if they'll extend it to indie developers. That's a good question, actually.
Hmm.
So I understand that it's probably first and second party Xbox developers, but would they extend it to indie developers? I don't know.
Hmm.
Is it just as long as the game is being made for Xbox, can they do this? Or is it just Xbox studios? Interesting questions.
Yeah. Accessible Halo. Mm-hmm.
Accessible Halo? Mm-hmm. I mean, we can hope, right?
Yeah.
I would certainly take that.
I would too.
Yeah, so this is giant news. Xbox is making huge waves here, and this is I give them full credit. And that's why I wanted to give that full disclosure in the beginning about the flack that I've given them, because I want you guys who are listening to this podcast to know how big it is.
Yeah.
For me to just be like, dang, Xbox. Like, I kind of threw you some shade back in the day, but dang, Xbox.
Yeah.
This could be really good. The thing is, though, like, I get where you're coming from, Sturlock, but I personally, I'm still not like, oh my god, now that they've done this initiative, now I must get a Series X immediately.
I'm not gonna think about getting one until I see like results and stuff.
Yes, exactly. That's what I want. I want to see what this actually creates.
Yeah.
I want to find out what the results of this initiative actually are.
But if like big stuff, big exclusive things,
oh yeah,
be accessible, then sure.
Yep. Then it's happening for me too. If that happens, yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yep.
So that's it is hard to express how monstrous this is. It's really good. Yeah, not huge. Like honestly, here's the thing. If they extend this idea to any game that is made for Xbox, regardless of whether it's multi-platform or as well, then that accessibility that Xbox has started via this program could end up trickling over to other platforms. But
who was it? I feel like one of us, or maybe he was even like Ian, were saying something to the effect of that, like, this is going to be a snowball.
That's the hope, yeah.
Yeah, like, not necessarily, like, I'm talking about, like, way back in the past, like, a couple of, like...
Oh, you're talking about... Ago. Yeah, Ian has said that before, that accessibility as a whole, the pickup of accessibility is going to be like a snowball. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And we're starting to see that now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, this is good. This is good. This
it's huge. It's all good. It's so good to be a gamer right now.
Yeah.
The future is bright, but I still want accessible Star Wars. Ubisoft, come on.
So good.
Come on, man. Can we just talk for 8-9 hours? Can we just?
Yep.
Oh okay. Man, it's I don't know. It could, it's still like even though, it's something that I'm not sure of. Like I don't know if it's gonna happen for sure. The fact that accessible Star Wars is a possibility still just makes me go, oh my god.
Yeah.
Like it might happen. It might. Like before, if things weren't as advanced as they were in terms of how far accessibility has come in the past couple of years, I would have just dismissed it.
It would just been a write-off. Like,
except for the fact that I would, probably have listened to Misty play it, but I would still have dismissed it basically and said, eh.
The way I kind of wrote off The Last of Us 2.
You weren't the only one. Mm-hmm. I told you, I think I mentioned on the show. Yeah, I did mention on the show because I wanted to kind of razz him a little bit. remember how I internally laughed at Illegally Sighted's video where he was talking about the most anticipated games of the year and will they be accessible in The Last of Us 2? I don't think it's going to be very accessible. They're probably not going to. Sony has never done anything like narration or anything like that. So. I had so much fun watching that video.
Yep, it's like I was I like so many things. I
Illegally Sighted. Oh, you don't know. Oh, it's so fun.
Yep.
But yeah, like I would have written it off if it hadn't been for the huge improvements we've seen in accessibility overall and accessibility with Ubisoft. I would have written it off as there's no chance.
Yeah.
But it's so good to be in an age now where there is a chance. Even if it's a small one, there's a chance. There used to never be a chance, except if you found accidental accessibility, in a game.
Yep.
There was never a chance that it'd be developed for us. Just never.
I even had fun playing like the little rail shooter segments of Shadows of the Empire back in the day.
Oh, I
before
I tried to play the Rebel Assault games, and it didn't work out very well. You have to use a mouse.
Yeah.
So those are good games though. I really enjoyed those games.
Yep.
They used live action footage, and it's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. So. It's great to be a gamer. It's great to be in this world where accessibility is becoming a huge deal now.
Yeah.
And to have it on the platform level like this, I mean, honestly, like this is a good move, not just for Xbox, but it's a good move for, I don't want to encourage like copycat syndrome here, but Sony should probably consider doing something like this.
Yeah.
Because right now they don't have a situation like this one. So yeah, but I love my Sony people. Don't get me wrong, obviously.
Yep.
But you know, this is something that you might want to copycat a little bit.
Yep.
And hey, Nintendo, hi, how are you doing?
Yeah.
What do you think of accessibility? You're, oh, that's right. I forgot.
You're a little far, they're a little behind.
A little bit, Nintendo, just a little bit. All right. So the second news item is a combination hype session plus a combination shouting out a Breakdown Walls member. That's what that's what I'm going to call this. So you all know, because if you listen to this podcast, trust me, you know that me and Sturlock love a game called 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim.
Yep.
And when I say love, I mean love deeply.
You trusted my opinion so much that you watch gameplay, you just bought it.
Yeah, I was like, you told you, like, basically the way that conversation went was, hey, you should get this game, or I don't think you said I should get it, you should consider it or something like that.
Yeah,
like, because I'm hearing that there's some Japanese people that played it and it sounds really cool, and I was like, okay. Yep. But yeah, so here we are, post having played the game to a completion, and man, oh man, we both love the game. It's really up there for me too. Like, just like it is for you. It's hard for me to call it like my favorite. It's hard.
It was such a, I think what really made my opinion so strong on it was just the fact that it was such like this sleeper access thing that, like, I didn't even know about the game period until I saw, I think it was Clement talking about it.
Yeah.
And then just to hear, like, oh yeah, this is going to be accessible. Like, what?
It's fully playable. An entire 40 hour story. That's fully playable.
Yep. Okay. I mean,
yeah. So yeah, 13 Sentinels, amazing game.
So
if you don't know, now you know. And if you haven't played it, now you'll be able to, well, even easier, because of the second half of this shout-out thing.
Yep.
Breakdown Walls member Soren, also known as SLJ, has crafted, using his awesome crafting powers, a blind 13 Sentinels guide to help the new blind players of the world become familiar with the game and its systems and how everything works and where everything is, to minimize your learning curve.
Yep.
Because even though this game is relatively simplistic in its construction, there is still a little bit of a learning curve, because you have to kind of teach yourself how combat works and how the movement system works, and you have to for instance it's easy to just assume that the movement in the game during story scenes is all left and right, because that's what it appears to be for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be ready for those moments where, guess what, there actually is a little bit of upward movement, you know, to find the stairs in the factory, for instance, and stuff like that. So this guide is for that. It's to minimize your learning curve, allow you to jump in and play the game and have a great time. And he's doing a great job on it. I don't think he's technically done, because he hasn't finished the game, so I think he wants to update it when he has.
Ah, yeah.
But what's there right now is already really good. It's in HTML format, so he has it sectioned off into different sections for easier navigation.
Yeah.
You can jump around by heading as well. And it's just he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
It's really, really well done. And we're hosting it on breakdownwalls.net. Yes, we are. I definitely wanted to give him a shout out and thank him for doing this guide, because I want everyone to play this game.
This game is so good.
If you have a PS4, play this game. And I'm not just talking to you blind people out there. If you have a PS4,
it's a legit good game.
Or like a PS5,
yeah,
play this game.
Like, I don't know if I mentioned it on the show. I don't think I did, but I was watching some videos in anticipation for the game, and some people talking about it. And apparently, for a little bit in Japan, this game was a dud.
Really?
And
that makes me sad.
What saved it, though, is word of mouth. People were talking to their friends like, hey, this game is amazing, go play it.
Oh.
Basically just like you and I, just like, hey, this game's great, go play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
Dang, that's cool.
Sighted people like this game too.
Oh yeah, plenty do. It's
a legit good game.
I follow at least one person that has changed their Twitter username to play 13 Sentinels. And they are sighted.
Yes.
They are sighted. Awesome. This is definitely not just a blind person's game. In fact, let's not forget, folks, although it didn't win, this game was nominated at the Game Awards for Best Narrative.
Yeah.
Nominees,
it's up there. It's really good.
Even if they don't win, guys, nominees should be taken seriously, and this one absolutely should. Like, yes, it's a twisty turny anime plotty thing.
Yep,
plotty plot thing. But dang, is it good? It's really good. Yep. I actually have officially started my offline playthrough of it. I said I would do it, and I've done it. I have an off stream. Version, you know, play, run through that I'm doing.
Nice.
Just to re-experience it and to experience it from the new perspective of now I've seen what the end is, you know, what happens in this story.
Yeah.
And now I go into this next playthrough with that knowledge.
Now you'll see the little things that you kind of missed and you connect stuff and it's so cool.
I'm already enjoying it. Like I've already noticed little tiny things, little hints, little subtle hints. Mm-hmm. That really, I don't think you'd ever pick up on unless you knew what was going on. Anyway,
I mean, like you can tell the story is definitely designed for multiple playthroughs and to, you know, they're like because there's books that are that way too. Like,
there are
designed for multiple read-throughs.
But still, that is definitely an art though. Still, because like a lot of people think a lot of people in video games think that the only reason you would replay a video game is if there were like multiple pathways and multiple endings you could get. Yeah. And this there isn't, and yet there's still a reason to replay it. So, you know, it's tremendous. Just go play it, everyone. And if you're blind, check out the guide section of breakdownwalls.net because that guide is waiting for you. It is waiting for you to click on it and open it and use it to play the game to the fullest potential that you possibly can.
Read me.
It'd probably be in like Karabe's friend's voice. Hey,
come on! You know you want to read me.
You should click this link here.
Just one little link. You know you want to click it.
Yeah, I just forgot his name. I feel terrible because I forgot his name. See, I'm not the only one. I'm not alone. Yay!
I had it, and then
you lost it. And now it's gone. And now it's gone. And it's gone.
And it's gone. Oh my god!
Once again, folks.
For a long time.
Once again, folks.
Reference.
Not planned. Never planned. I want to stress this. We never planned this. And yet, somehow, it always happens.
Yep.
Man. Good times. Yeah, so that's what I got for accessibility this week.
Yep.
I'm also being told by Soren that my illusions of being stuck in Serenia are false, and I am wrong.
Okay.
So he is currently... this is an ongoing DM conversation I'm having with him today and so far just today, but he's currently trying to figure out exactly what I have and where I am, and he says you're wrong. I promise you can't break the game. I'm gonna help you out. So we'll see what happens. I might report back on this one. So we'll see.
Cool.
Yeah. So that is that. That is indeed that. Sirok, anything else in the accessibility realm?
Because
last time you had a whole bunch of MMO information and you shocked the world with that. What you got? Anything?
I did, but this week.
Oh,
no, I got nothing.
All right. Well, then before we move on to our outro, because that's what's next for us in terms of recording, let us introduce very briefly what you're about to hear as a listener. What you're about to hear as a listener is an interview we did. We recorded it last week. An interview with Premet, who is basically the creator of a smart AI, smart assistant kind of thing. You know, you get the idea. Called Louie Voice. currently it is for Android only, but you'll hear in this interview, he got plans.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed this interview. I liked it. I liked the app itself. I can't use it because I don't have an Android device, but I like it. And I think you guys will too. I'm going to try to link all the stuff that's relevant to it in the description. So hopefully that'll be there and you can check it out. And yeah, let's get you to the interview. There is a little bit of an intro in the beginning while we're waiting for him to join us, where I kind of go over all this stuff anyway, but I don't know. I just felt like I needed to do it now too. I don't know. Anyway, enjoy the interview. We're going to do our outro. We'll be right back. Welcome everyone to the interview segment of the freaking podcast. And you know what?
Hello from the past.
Can you believe it? It's been, how long has it been since we had a guest? It's been a while.
Who even was our last guest at this point?
It's been a pretty long time.
Was it Ian Vogue?
Was he the last one?
I think he might have been.
You might be right. I think you actually are right.
Jeez, that was a long time ago.
I'm actually in the process of sending the link to our friend right now. So, boop. Okay. That is sent. And so now we are waiting for our interview guest to, while we wait, some background on the person we're interviewing today. We're interviewing the creator of an app, which is one of the voice assistants called Louie Voice, which I already like the name. I don't know about you. I like that.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's like Siri is one thing, Alexa is one thing, but Louie. I mean, what the heck, man? Sounds good. This is specifically for Android, though. That should be mentioned.
Yeah.
Louie Voice is Android only. But it seems pretty powerful.
Sadly, neither of us have Android devices.
So. Yeah, right. Right. Still though, I like the app. I like where it's going, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm all for it.
I was impressed with the little video trailer thing that showed stuff off. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have questions, but hey, that's what we have an interview for, right?
Yeah.
So we are awaiting our guest. They have to. So I sent them the link, which you can only get once the recording starts. Yay, Anchor! This is how Anchor works. You can't like schedule these things and give someone the link in advance, you know?
Yeah.
But as soon as he clicks that and activates his microphone and enters his name, he'll be in the chat. So, yeah. I think the biggest thing that I will ask, and if he comes in, I'll just cut myself off right away. But if I think the biggest thing I'm going to ask about is the order of things you can say. Like, well, not, how do I word this? So Louie Voice does this thing where it asks you a heck of a lot of questions, it seems like.
Yeah.
And that's cool in that it gives you a lot of options and it gives you technically a lot of freedom. But I'm kind of wondering, like, what if I just want to do the one thing and I don't want to answer all those other questions?
Yeah.
Like, if I want to play the song from the YouTubes, but I don't want to then like the video or subscribe or post a comment. I mean, Louie Voice can do all those things. But what?
That's pretty cool.
What if in the moment I don't want to do that, you know?
Right.
So, I don't know. That's my biggest question. But it seems like a very powerful tool.
Read toxic YouTube comments.
Right. Right. Toxic YouTube comments. Yeah. That's what we want. That's actually the next that's in the next build.
Yeah.
It singles out the toxic comments, you know.
Ah.
That's not true, by the way.
If only. So like 99.9% of them.
Hey, there's our guest.
Hey,
Pramit, my friend. Welcome, sir.
Hey, Brendan. Great to be here. This is Pramit.
Hey, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to have you on, my friend. Thank you for contacting me about this, because this is a really cool. You have a you have a really cool app here, and I wanted to give it its due, give it a shout out on the Breakdown Walls podcast, because that's what we do here. We break down walls. So
right.
So I want to start off right away, and kind of. Oh, by the way, I want to introduce you first to my co-host Sturlock.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, hi Sturlock.
I showed him your video, the one that you sent me about Louis Boyce. So he is up on the functionality of it as well. And so I want to start off right away just by asking you just to kind of tell your story to our listeners. Tell your story about how Louis Boyce got started, where the idea originated from. Tell us everything. Tell us the scoop.
Oh, okay. I just hope I don't bore you with my details. Okay. So I actually had a normal vision. And I did my computer engineering, went on to do MBA, worked with companies like Unilever, Motorola, Quest Diagnostics. And it was about 21 years back when a reaction of a drug hit my retina and macula in specifically. And my vision sort of almost overnight dropped drastically. Wow. And then doctors, of course, could not diagnose it, and there was no treatment, and it just kept dropping over the years. Initially, I was getting some correction, but then it just kept dropping. And I think I hit that point about 9 years back, when suddenly I realized everything has become wavy, cloudy, foggy, whichever way we call it. Net result that I couldn't read anything at all, you know, irrespective of the size of the font, and the vision was still dropping. Yeah. And you know, I think if I now look back, and it's a wiser me now, because you can always in retrospection be wiser. And I was trying to live in the past, and I was trying to, you know, look at what I used to do when I had better vision. And then, you know, trying to put with the lower vision the same scenarios, and then, you know, I will feel very, you know, I'll just feel loss of confidence. And I would feel I cannot do this, cannot do that. And all those devils meant that I was just sitting at home 2.5-3 years doing nothing. And this was the time when I was also trying screen readers. And honestly, the first experience, I turned it on and I thought the phone has got locked. So we had to go to Google to, you know, come out of.
How do you unlock this thing? Yeah, okay.
The gestures are completely different. And you can imagine a, you know, sighted person doesn't understand, you know, once the screen reader is on. So you know, those are all, I think that experience was wonderful, because I was on my own learning as my vision was dropping, learning various assistive technology, trying to cope with life, you know, and all that really helped as I got onto Louis Voice Control. So what really, you know, on Louis Voice Control, I think I'll just talk quickly about two events. One was I had gone to meet a senior executive at Sequoia Capital. This is a venture capital firm in US, very big in India as well. And he was the one who suggested, he said, why don't you build apps for people, for yourself, for, you know, visually impaired friends across the world? Now, I can tell you the thought of a startup can be quite daunting, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not easy to get into one. So anyway, I let it be there somewhere back of the mind. The idea sounded good, that yes, maybe I can do something in that area. But then, you know, when I went back to him, he said, look, I have heard a lot about your saying this doesn't work so well, that doesn't work so well, but tell me what works well. What is it that is good? And again, you know, it's easy to crib and cry. It's more difficult to define. Okay, this is good.
Yeah. Right.
So that shook me up, you know. And then suddenly, you know, it was just all a matter of chance. I had gone to meet a friend at his office. I wanted to go back. He took my smartphone and he said, why don't I book Uber for you? And he asked me my destination, put it into Uber. Few options came up. He told me those options. I said, take this one. Similarly, he told me the rides which are available, the fares. I again selected one. He therefore did a booking for me after confirming everything and even called the driver for me. And when I was in Uber on the way back, a thought just struck me. I said, what if I could build a virtual friend right there on the phone screen, which will do exactly what my human friend was doing. So it will give me all the options. It will allow me to do each and everything within an app. It will do a continuous voice interaction with me. It will take my options. And it will handhold me, knowing that I cannot see the screen at all. So this is really the concept of Louis Voice Control, that with just voice commands, can I control each and everything in my favorite apps as well as the critical phone features.
Yeah. I love that. I love how, first of all, I love how your background you know, working with technology companies fed into this, you know, to begin with. And then how, you know, that chance meeting made you go, wait a minute, this is a problem I can solve, you know? I love that. That's good stuff. So Louis Voice appears to be a very powerful tool, which I really like. But I do have one question, one big question about Louis Voice, which kind of struck me as I watched the video.
Right.
My question is, the assistant part of it seemed to sometimes maybe ask you more than you might want to answer at the time. So for instance, what comes to mind is when you pull up a YouTube video using Louis Voice, the video that you released shows kind of like, okay, so now it's playing the video, but now Louis Voice is asking you, hey, do you want to comment on this? Or, you know, do you want to like the video? Do you want to, what if just what if hypothetically, what if I wanted to watch the video? Yes, but I didn't want to do any of those other things. Like, is there functionality to only do one thing, one response, you know?
Yes, sir, it is there. So, okay, so what you would have seen, what is, you know, what we call a normal verbosity, because when somebody starts up, you know, they need to know how it works. So it will give you all the options. Now, yeah, the moment I tell Louis talk less, it turns on, it moves to something called zero verbosity. So the idea is exactly that. So if I'm playing a YouTube video, you know, I don't want to be peppered with the options of forward, rewind,
right,
comment, subscribe, like, full screen. So it will not do any of that. So what happens is that then it will only give you absolutely essential things it will say. Otherwise, it will, the beeper, you know, the where you, the microphone will just open. Without, you know, and the whole idea is because after a while you get used to it, and this can be extremely time consuming. And, you know, honestly, it can be irritating also if it does that every time.
Yeah, yeah, I like that a lot. Okay, I like that a lot because I was like, I was worried, like, I think this app is great, but I just don't know if I want to be listening to this all the time, you know.
Like, no, so that's a wonderful feedback for me also. So they see already I'm learning a lot. So I think in the way even we, you know, share the videos, we got to probably show both the modes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like how, so basically the idea is then when it's giving you all those questions and all those options, it's really just teaching you how to use it, like teaching you what you can do with it. And then you can tell it to talk less and then you can do whatever you want.
Absolutely. Then you're on your own. And even when you say talk less, there is an option. Let's say, you know, sometimes as a visually impaired, because I cannot see the screen. And I have now put Louis to zero verbosity. So it's not telling me, you know, what options are there. So if I can just say, if I get lost, I just say commands and it will give me all those options.
Yes. I like it. I like it. That's really good stuff. That's choice, really good stuff.
Choice is good. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is really good. Because the video is impressive. The video shows a very wide range of what Louis can do. And that's really good to know that that you can be kind of you can craft your own experience with it too once you have all those functions behind it. What's coming up for Louis Voice? Is there anything that's like not in there yet that you're working on that you can talk about?
Oh yes, this is like a journey, right? We are trying to build Rome brick by brick, not in one day. So you know, I would say we are still maybe 5% on the journey. I mean, honestly, I mean, there's a lot more to be done. So the way we are looking at it is, so one, we got to, you know, I've broken up into what are the user pain points that we need to solve. You know, typically as a visually impaired, you know, what are the challenges we face? And number two, what are the apps that we need to do? And number three, what are the other platforms that we need to go into? And number four would be languages. So if you see, that's why I said it's only 5% of where we to go. In terms of, let's say, the user challenges, you know, I'll just talk about some of them. Now, for example, when images hit you, and that is something like I got three New Year messages which came as images. So you can imagine, you know, I could do anything with that. So what we have just done is we have now built in image recognition and OCR. So it can broadly define the image and it can read the text on the image. And we have tried to do it absolutely seamlessly. Right now we have done it in WhatsApp, but as we go ahead and we do Facebook, Messenger, Telegram, whatnot, I mean, it will be integrated everywhere. So that's awesome. Part of it. Secondly, you know, a lot of people told us they want to do Google search, they want to be able to open the browser, browse around, read articles with the browser. And, a lot of these communication apps, you also get documents which are shared. So being able to read the documents and particularly scanned PDF documents, because they can be, really a challenge. So those are other areas, or even, any page where you just want Louis to read it. So that's another area we are working on. In terms of new apps, some of them I already mentioned, which are Messenger, Facebook, Telegram. We want to do emails. Emails, again, we have been given a lot of feedback by people that it's sort of tough. We already have something called Where Am I, which can tell you the current location, but we want to integrate it with Google Maps. So, it's sort of an voice-driven navigation completely. Then things like food ordering, this is something people have asked for, even an e-commerce app. And we, as we go forward, we want to look at various aspects of our life and which are the primary apps. It could be tomorrow, let's say I want to travel. So it could be just something which helps me book. It could be possibly which gets me the hotel or Airbnb or whatever. So those are the ways that we want to expand it. And over a period of time, we want to create an SDK so a lot many more apps can come and themselves integrate with Louis.
Yeah, that's a great idea, because then you create the potential for like an ever expanding suite of things that can connect to it. I have a confession. Neither Stirlock nor myself have Android devices.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but you're kind of making me wish I had one just so I can try this out.
So now the third thing, therefore, before you ask me the platform. So on iPhone, by the way, we want to do a technical feasibility in the second half of the year and hopefully have it out for iPhones as well.
Oh, really? Do you think awesome. This could work on iPhone? Because
it's sort of 50-50. And I'll tell you why. Because when I started thinking about Louis, and this is like almost 4 years back, and there were a lot of technology experts and accessibility experts that I spoke to. Everybody told me not possible. Don't waste your life. I was told that, look, you've got better things to do in life. Don't even try and think about it. So I heard so many no's there that, even now, I mean, a lot of people would say that yes. And even, we all know that it's relatively closed. But unless we give it a fair shot, I am not willing to take a no for an answer, because Android wasn't looking possible. I think we were able to crack it. Hopefully we'll be able to do something with the iPhones as well.
Yeah, I hope so, because I will admit, like, even I know this as an iPhone user, even I'm aware that iPhones are a much more closed off system, so it might be a little more difficult to do. But if you can do it, awesome. I will download day one. I'll tell you that right now, because I really like this. I really like Louis and what you're doing with it. So, absolutely, Stirlock, I wanna like give you the floor here, because I know I've been asking all the questions. What you got?
I don't know if this is something you can answer, but what other apps are you hoping personally to support in the future?
Yeah, which I just mentioned. So let's say all those communications app, which is apart from WhatsApp, we do Messenger, Facebook, Twitter, Telegram. Then I spoke about food ordering, e-commerce, emails. The things like, even for example, for our travel, etc. Now, a lot of users have, by the way, asked for Google Play Store. I think visually impaired probably want to browse around for apps. So a lot of it is today completely driven by user feedback. As we get the feedback, as we get interested, and by the way, because we have just integrated images and OCR, personally, one app which I believe would be like, if we can crack that one, that would be Instagram. Instagram is so hot, it's such a hot app, but a lot of visually impaired people, because it's so visual, don't want to go there.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you ask me personally, that's the one I want to crack.
So, yeah, that's awesome.
So that iPhone awesome. And Instagram. So these are like my two hot lists.
Well, here's some future feedback for you. What if I want to start my audiobook on the Audible app with Louis voice? You should totally integrate that too.
yeah. In fact, that should be easily possible. So not a problem, because Audible is it's a fairly basic app. So it should be easily doable for us.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And you know, the difference is even I have an Alexa speaker. So, you know, Alexa can also play audiobooks.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, I was trying to tell it. So it automatically started with something. And I said, okay, go to the next book. So it went to the next chapter. So, you know, so what we'll be able to do, I think, is provide all the controls and every possibility that you can browse what you have already purchased, or you can even, you know, we can link it up with Audible also. So it's the approach is very different.
Yeah, I definitely get that. I definitely respect that, because, yeah, a lot of the voice assistants that exist nowadays are, in a sense, very basic. But that's like it's so, to be perfectly clear, I like how advanced Louis can get with all of its many, many, many options. I just wanted to make sure that there was, you know, both like a basic and advanced choice, like you could, you know. So I'm glad that option to make it speak less exists. I know I'm going back to that, but that'd be great for me.
See, by the way, just to tell you, I am probably the biggest user and the biggest critic of Louis. There were times, you know, when I said this is shit. I mean, we can't put it in user hands like this. So we have you know, learned our way along. So let me be honest along here.
Oh yeah, I get it. I totally get it. That's totally cool. Sterlock, you got anything else?
I don't think I have anything else.
Okay, well then, what I want to do is I want to do two things. First of all, I want to ask you, Premet, where the listeners can learn more about Louis Voice, which is currently only for Android, but where can they find it?
Okay, so the listeners need to head over to Google Play Store and just search for Louis Voice Control. So Louis spelled as Louie. And even if they were to put just Voice Control, it appears there.
Ah, cool.
And there is, of course, the description. There is a video. There are even my contact details. So Pramit at louievoice.com. So PRAMIT@louievoice.com. So it's mentioned on the Play Store page as well. And of course, they need to try it out and very importantly, provide us feedback, because it's really the feedback from the users that really drives the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so my next question was going to be, where can they find you specifically? But I guess you answered that already.
Yeah, I'm on email. And by the way, I would also share all my social media handles. So maybe you can share it along with the podcast. So
absolutely. Please do. What you got? You're on the Twitter?
Yeah, I am all over. So I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I mean, whatever is convenient, you know. And I sort of access them directly, so because I love to talk to users one-on-one rather than, you know, getting it filtered through a team member.
Very cool. Hello?
Yeah, you can hear me?
I think we lost Brandon. Brandon?
Oh, all right. I think we got everyone back.
We lost you for a second. You got a phone call, didn't you?
No, I have no idea what happened.
That was weird.
But hey, you know what? We're doing it live, guys. We're doing it live. All right. So, sorry about that. I don't know what that's going to sound like in the actual recording, but sorry about that, guys. If you'd like to give everyone your Twitter and your Facebook on the actual episode here, go feel free. What I will do, because I already intended to do this already, in the description of the podcast episode, I'm going to put the link to the video, in that description, and that has all your details as well, right?
That'll be great.
Okay. Do you want to give them your Twitter and stuff right now, or do you want me to just link that?
I'm going to just email it to you.
Okay, we can do that too. Okay. All right. Well then, I would like to thank you very much, Primate, for coming on the show. I appreciate your patience with all the scheduling nonsense. Stuff happened, and then the new year happened, and then stuff happened. But thank you very much for your patience. Thank you for being willing to do this interview. And I look forward to hopefully trying Louis Voice on iPhone one of these here days.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for all your support.
Yeah, no problem at all. Hopefully this gets you some downloads, because I know some of my listeners are probably Android users. So there you go.
Right, that'll be great. I'm really looking forward to the feedback.
I'm sure you'll get some. Well, thank you very much again. Have a great night. Well, great day for you, because it's morning for you. So, good morning!
Yeah, good morning. Great. Remember, yes, I'm in the future.
Going to bed soon.
That's not fair, man. I want to be in the future, too. All right. Have a good one. I will be in touch. All
right. Right. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode 73 of the Breakdown Walls podcast.
Indeed.
Wasn't it awesome? It was, wasn't it?
It was.
We had some topics, some really, really monstrous giant topics of hugeness.
Yep.
And we had a super cool interview with Premet of Louis Voice, and he enlightened us on the awesome power that is Louis Voice. What I liked about the interview most, I think, is the fact, well, not necessarily the interview, but kind of the idea behind it, you know, is that it's a voice assistant that is made for the visually impaired. Like it is made to serve the specific needs of the blind.
Yep.
And I really like that. And I hope that you guys give it a look if you can. If you have an Android device, awesome. And you know, like you heard in the interview, he has iOS plans. He wants to try to make that work. So,
yep.
Keep an ear open for that, folks. I do have more guests lined up. And I will announce them when they are scheduled, because I don't know if they're going to be like next week or the week after that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Sirlock knows who two of them are. Well, actually, the audience knows who at least one more of them is, because I announced that I plan on getting Gorilla on the show. So
yep.
That's he accepted, by the way.
Yeah, I figured.
So that's happening.
Nice.
But again, not scheduled yet, so I don't want to, you know. Yeah. Yep. I don't want to announce a date or time for that. But anyway, It's the start to the podcasting year that I wanted. We already have a bunch of guests lined up, and I'm happy about it, and more ideas for guests as well. So,
yep.
It's good. I hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, we love doing this every week. We love giving you this insight into the world of gaming and the world of accessibility at the same time. Feel free to leave us feedback, comments, suggestions, questions, all that stuff. We love it. We will take it, and we will examine it, and we will probably talk about it on the next week's show.
Yep.
And I think that's going to do it. So until next week, I'm Brandon Cole. And again, according to what he has told me, he is Sirlock.
Yep.
And he says yep a lot as well.
For now.
Oh, okay. There. You said something that wasn't
things,
yep.
Things may change.
Things may change, indeed. So for now, he's Sirlock. So we will see you guys next week.